Kia ora and welcome to Stories from the South, our show dedicated to celebrating South Invercargill, brought to you by South Alive. I'm your host Courtney Ellison, and this is the third and final part in our three-part summer series, where we're diving into South Invercargill's history and sharing some of the stories we've found as we've been developing our South Alive Heritage Trail. In parts one and two, we covered some of the backgrounds to our Heritage Trail and its development, and then we heard some of the extracts from Betty Donaldson's oral history and heard of the strong community spirit that has existed in South Invercargill for many decades now. Most of you know us as South Alive, but our full name is actually the South Invercargill Urban Rejuvenation Trust. So urban rejuvenation is at the heart of what we do. And Betty was talking about urban rejuvenation of South Invercargill 30 odd years ago. So it's pretty cool to be able to share some of her story in her own words with extracts from her oral history recordings. But today, in this third part of our summer series, I'm very excited to share the story of our local ice cream legend, Brian Simon. Jules and I sat down with Brian and heard of his stories making ice cream and whether he did really invent Hokey Pokey. Well, we're about to find out.
Brian Simon, what's the scoop? Are you our local South Invercargill ice cream legend?
My father was.
Your father was? Yeah. Is he the...
He was in the First World War,
yeah,
riding a horse.
Was he?
Yeah.
What a great
man.
He
was a mounted rifleman.
So he went...
That was before I came along.
Yeah. Did he come back jobless?
Yeah, he couldn't get a job, so he was living with... two aunties that had the Appleby Hotel. Well, it was a place where people boarded.
Oh, right. It was a boarding home.
It was, yeah. And
beautiful old building, was it?
It's still there.
Hmm.
So it's a church now, I think, or
yeah,
something.
It could be. Yeah, it's certainly a special building to South Africa.
My father, he came back from the war and he went up to Kikuwiki to get a job, and he got there and the job had gone. So
right.
He must have got back to Invercargill somehow, and he stayed with his sisters. He came out of a family of 13.
Wow.
And
he didn't need to get a job, didn't he? Because
he was the youngest.
He's the youngest.
Yeah.
Right.
So he'd lost one brother. He got killed. I think he was in Australia. And anyway, he came back and must have been boarding with my two aunties,
mm,
Auntie Minnie and Auntie Tim. And I used to stay with them quite often in the old Appleby Hotel.
Oh,
well,
right.
It wasn't a hotel then. It was a boarding house.
I think the local South Invercargill residents are going to think it's pretty cool that used to be the first ice cream factory for your family.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So I did find out just recently from a cousin who's a bit older than me that he had an ice cream parlour in the, you know how the building is like that?
Yes.
Well, it was in this corner here. He had an ice cream parlour.
Right.
So, and he started making ice cream.
Yes.
So, and he called it Fantasy.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic name.
Yeah. So, and he got a bit big, and he had an opposition in Invercargill, and they decided they wanted rid of him. So they bought him out.
Oh, goodness.
So he went to Dunedin.
Right.
And took me with him. And
did you make some ice cream in the Appleby Hotel before that?
No, I
did you join him when he went to Dunedin?
Just a little kid then.
Oh, right.
He met his wife in the Appleby Hotel.
Lovely.
And she was a girl, a country girl from Otaheite. And they must have got married. And that was before I came along.
Yeah. So you joined your dad, Max, and you went off to Dunedin.
Well, he took me to Dunedin, and I think he had another son. He's in the North Island now, and he went there and, what did he do? Yeah, he sold out to Fred Blick, I think his name was, and he's the fella that built the Calvin Hotel.
Oh, right, yeah.
He was a builder.
Yeah.
But he also had interests in making ice cream.
Yes.
And my father didn't have enough money, so he sold out.
Right.
And then he got the money that he got and bought an old place in Cumberland Street.
Right,
just
yep.
along from Cadbury's.
Oh, right, that sounds like that was a good location.
Yeah. So he cleaned a whole lot of bricks and got a bricky to build him a house.
Yes.
And on the site, and used the rest of the site for making ice cream.
Right, so he lived in the...
And he called it New Joy. When I came along, I was only a schoolboy, of course, but he was already making ice cream in Dunedin at Cumberland Street, just along from Cadbury's. And there was some... two Dutch people worked for him. We got a lot of Dutch people in those days.
Yep.
And anyway, these two Dutch fellas worked at our factory.
Yes.
And then they went along to Cadbury's and did the night shift.
Right.
Because that's what Dutch people do.
Absolutely. Hard-working people.
Yeah. So I said, oh, what do you do at Cadbury's? Oh, he's working on the hokey pokey, you know. The
crunchy bar.
I said, oh, yeah. Is there any broken bits? And, oh, yeah, there is a bit. And I said, well, could you get me some? I don't mind paying for them. Yeah. I would be about, 16
yeah.
years old by
Brilliant.
Then.
Yeah.
And so these fellas, oh, yeah, we could get you some. So anyway, we kept buying this crust hokey pokey, they called it.
Mm.
So I sprinkled that in the ice cream, and that's how hokey pokey ice cream got started. And it's still going.
Mm. It's still going, and it's the second most popular flavour in New Zealand.
Is it? Yeah, well, it's not as good as it used to be. I've got one in the fridge now, and it's pretty far apart, the hokey
right.
pokey.
Tell us about the quality of hokey pokey you used to make and the difference today.
Well, we used to use all Cadbury's.
Yes.
And then we got some other stuff, and it... was all right, and then Cadbury's decided that they didn't want to do it anymore. We bought it in bags.
Yes.
Two plastic bags, because the hokey pokey pushed its way through one.
Yes.
In a paper bag, and I think they were 11 pound. It wouldn't have been kilos in those
right.
days.
Yes. Yep.
So we used to buy it from Cadbury's for many years, and it just kept growing.
Mm.
And the crystal ice cream was in Dunedin, and they started making it too, and Tip Top started making it, and
yes.
It's still going.
Now, we did hear that Tip Top tried to claim Hokey Pokey, Brian.
What's that?
We heard that Tip Top tried to claim Hokey Pokey as theirs.
Oh, yeah, well, that was during the war. Well, they wouldn't have got the sugar to make it during the war. Mm. That would be a lot of nonsense.
Yeah, so that's nonsense. You're the local ice cream legend, and
yeah.
Your father.
Yeah.
Well, that's just wonderful, Brian. It truly is. It is the second most popular flavour in the country. What do you think of all these new flavours that are out?
What new flavours?
Well, the latest ones are Lamington.
Lamington?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a cake.
Cinnamon donut.
No, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, and then the other one out this season is gingerbread caramel.
But we made a lot of different flavours.
Yeah. What sort of flavours did you make?
Oh, goodness. I've got a whole lot of old things in the coal shed.
Yeah. Are any of them as good as Hokey Pokey, those flavours?
Oh, some of them were all right, yeah. But Hokey Pokey was the top one that...
Yeah, absolutely.
...seemed to take on, yeah, and... But I've got a one in the fridge now. It's a Tip Top one. And it's pretty far, but, you know, they haven't got as much Hokey Pokey in it as what we put in.
Oh, right. Do we need to write a letter to them and tell them to up the Hokey Pokey?
Yeah.
We asked Brian whether he preferred a waffle or a regular cone, and, well, he enlightened us on a different kind of cone altogether.
Tin cans in day.
Yes.
They didn't have cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
And anyway, they had this thing, and they could push it into the ice cream.
Yes.
And then they'd push it out and put it into a flat cone.
Oh, flat cone.
But they don't have flat cones now.
Were they good, those flat cones?
They were.
Right.
Mm.
We're going to have to look into that, Courtney.
Yeah.
Do you think it's better in the current plastic tubs or when it used to come in cardboard?
Well, I suppose plastic is better.
Yeah.
But cardboard has got to be waxed.
Oh, right.
You know,
yes.
You can't just use...
Yeah. So that's why those plastic two-litre tubs are the way to go.
If you just used cardboard, you'd get the taste of the cardboard.
Mm.
But waxed... Cool Sum and Wilkie's used to make a lot of cardboard cartons and things,
yes,
for us. I suppose they're still going.
Well, they could be, yeah. Sometimes if you're having a birthday party or something, you seek out the big cardboard slab of ice cream.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it can be really good. Yeah. What about...
And they're all waxed. The cardboard wouldn't taint the ice cream.
Oh, right, yeah.
While we could have talked for hours about the taste and flavours of ice cream, we also learnt that Brian is extremely skillful in all of the behind-the-scenes refrigeration and transport sides of running an ice cream business too. This next part of our chat with Brian, you can hear we are flicking through some old photos he showed us from his ice cream business days.
Wow, I haven't seen this photo before. That's really cool.
And that's the Foden truck, that one there. That's this one.
Oh, yes.
And he... got it built in Auckland.
Yes.
By White Light Metal Industries. And that's the truck there. And
so did that one have extra refrigeration capability?
Yeah, it had a Volkswagen motor up on top drive it.
Yes.
And Birdseye found out that we had this big truck, and they got us to, and in those days you couldn't drive a truck any more than 30 miles out of the same town.
Yes.
But we got a special license. We could go all over the place with this big truck. And I drove it 1 week, and the next week it was, or the next day, and from Dunedin to Christchurch, there and back in the day. Well, you couldn't do that today.
No.
Because you've got log books.
Yes. So that really enabled you to expand your market.
Yeah, well...
Get your ice cream
it
quicker.
Wasn't with the ice cream. It was with the carting of frozen. There was no refrigerated trucks in New Zealand.
Oh, right. So this truck was...
And when they found out that we had a big truck,
yes,
they hired us to do it.
Right.
So we did that for a couple of years or so, and then there's heaps of them around there.
Mm. There is. But you're a pioneer in refrigerated trucks as well.
Yeah.
The truck.
I built that one myself.
You built the truck?
Yeah.
Wow.
You built it.
I did. And that was a big machine that we had for making novelties.
Is oh, that so like that's a, your ice cream on a stick?
On a stick, yeah.
So is
yeah.
that like a jelly tip or a chocolate
yeah.
bomb or...
It was a machine I bought from where was it? Italy, I think, made it.
Wow.
It was a pretty expensive machine.
Because the Italians are good at making ice cream, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're more gelato. Where'd you get all your milk from? Was it easy to get?
Well, we got the milk from Christchurch, I think.
Yeah.
And they brought it in stainless steel things. They came down every day with it from
oh, yes.
Christchurch.
Fresh milk daily from Christchurch.
It's another truck. Yeah, I built that one too.
Did you have a knack for refrigeration?
Eh?
Did you have a bit of a knack for fixing freezers?
Oh, yeah. I still make freezers and things. Well, I had, last year I did.
We also chatted batch sizes and ice cream markets around the world and returning to ice cream making in his retirement with the establishment of Deep South. So what size batches would you make at a time?
Huh?
How many litres of ice cream would you make at a time?
Oh, per day,
yeah.
You mean. Well, I've got a little vat out there that I've just used for holding water, and it was 200 gallons.
Oh, 200 gallons.
Well, that was a small one.
Oh, yeah. And the one in Dunedin, did you just make it wholesale and sell it on to the corner stores or supermarkets, or did you have a little shop front where people could come and buy a scoop?
See that truck there?
Yeah.
That was a tip-top one.
Ah.
And it was burnt out.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I bought it.
Yes.
And... I fixed it all up and put a new cab and chassis under it, and I think I've got a photo of it here somewhere. No, that's not it, because that had a unit underneath.
Ah.
So did you go yourself often to do the deliveries, Brian?
Hey?
Did you go yourself often to do the deliveries?
Yeah, I did a lot of the deliveries.
Yeah. What was your most popular market? Like, did you have the South Island?
We did coverage? A bit of export too.
Oh, yes.
To various countries. Some of them paid and some of them didn't.
Oh.
Oh.
So,
we lost a few dollars when we got special packets made for a bloke, and then he didn't want to pay, so we had to dump them. I mean, it had his name on them and everything. So
the ups and downs of business.
Didn't always work.
You came back into ice cream a bit later after you'd retired, didn't you?
Well, I built a little cold store in Rockdale Road, just a small one, and then my son, he was alive then, and he said, oh, why don't we make ice cream again? So I said, oh, well, do you really want to? And, oh, yeah. So, but he talked me into making ice cream again, so we built another one and called it Deep South.
Yes.
And it's still going.
It is still going.
But it's been bought and sold in... Kelly's are building it now. Well, and they still make Deep South in Mochuaca.
They do.
And that refrigeration expertise flowed on to building something else pretty cool in south of Invercargill.
It was almost my whole life. Mm. But I did do other things as well.
Yes.
I built an ice skating rink, Olympic size.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where'd you build that? The ice cream?
No, in Invercargill.
Wow.
It cost a lot of money too.
Yes. Mm. Where was the ice skating rink?
Well, the building is still there.
Yes.
It was in just round the corner from where I had the ice cream factory.
Yes.
And anyway, we thought, in the winter time, when things were quiet, we could, because we had a lot of big machinery.
Yes, of course.
Wasn't getting used, so we thought we'd build this ice skating rink.
So that wraps up our third part in our summer series, diving into the stories of South Invercargill's heritage. Massive thanks to Brian Simon for giving us his time to share his story. It was really such an honour to hear it from him himself. Big thank you, Brian, for sharing your story with us. And thank you for joining us for Stories from the South, our summer series on Radio Southland 96.4 FM. As I said, this is the final part in our summer series, but you can catch up on the first two shows by searching Stories from the South on Spotify or follow the link from the South Alive website. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our regular show, where we will be updating you on what's been happening here at South Alive over the summer, ways you can volunteer or even micro-volunteer with South Alive, and of course let you know about what is coming up for 2024.